everyone. This is Kevin, and you are listening to English Roundtable. Today, I am joined again with Zane. Hi, Zane.
Hello. Nice to be back.
Yeah. Thank you for joining. And today's episode is basically show and tell. So you brought some items. I have not seen them. They are completely hidden from me. Could you give us an idea of maybe what realm these items are from or what they are?
Certainly. So today I thought I'd bring some technology-related items in, and I thought you could take a look at them and see if you know what they are, and see perhaps if you know some of them might have been used in a movie or two.
Okay.
So I just thought we'd have a bit of a show and tell, but the theme was technology.
So. Okay. So the theme is technology. Again, these items, they will be on the YouTube. You can see images of what we're talking and looking at. But for me, in person, I will be touching and holding these items. I don't know what they are. All right, so I'm going to go first. So
go ahead.
Under this blanket is something. All right. How about this? To make it more fun, I'm going to hold it and just kind of feel it. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Before I look at it. So
absolutely.
I think I know what it is already.
Right.
I think it's a tape deck.
Uh-huh.
Cassette player.
I think you're on the right track there.
Is that close?
Yeah, it's very close.
Okay, because I'm feeling buttons and I know that feeling.
Yes. But quite a distinct feeling.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I'm going to take a look.
Have a look at that.
There it is.
It is
a Sony stereo cassette player. To be specific, it is the TPS-L2.
Yes.
And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see images and what we're looking at. Very cool. There's a tape inside.
There is a tape in there. That's actually one of the original demo tapes.
Oh, really?
From Sony as well. So
they came with... See, I didn't know this. So they came with demo tapes for the originals?
Some of them did. I'm not sure if all of them came with a demo tape or not. Certainly the later model Sony cassette players would have had a demo tape included. I don't know if that is the actual demo tape for that specific model, but it is certainly a Sony demo tape.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Can I open it?
You can do whatever you want with it.
So this is a really unique cassette player. I've actually never seen this style, so I don't know how to open it. I'm scared to open
this,
it.
This one is pretty unique, so you can actually just open it up like that.
I was looking for a button.
Yeah. This one was released... This is Sony's first portable cassette player.
Really?
In terms of one that was made for the mass market and actually intended for people to listen to music on.
Oh, cool.
They did do some other earlier tape players, but this is the one that really made Sony what it is. So,
that's cool.
TPS-L2, made in 1979, and it had some pretty good features for the time. So, no other company was really making a cassette player that was that small. And you look at it now and think, well, it's quite big and clunky, but 1979.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty reasonable for 1979.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see on the top there, it's actually got two headphone ports
as
well. And that's the original model that said Guys and Dolls on it.
Oh, wow. So you could just plug in, listen with your spouse.
That's
or
right.
Whoever.
That's right. And you had a hotline button on the top there that actually... it doesn't mute the music completely, but it takes it down a level so you can hear each other talk. So,
man, this is awesome.
it's pretty good in terms of technology. Like, they really thought of everything, and even things that you didn't really need.
Oh, I love this. And I love the... So the volume button is actually dial... Or not dials, but your... what would you call this? Like a lever?
Sliders, I suppose. Yeah. So you've got left and right channel sliders on there, which is something that... They didn't really do again after this model. And I like it.
So
you can control the individual sides volume level, which I think is pretty good.
Okay, so we're talking left, right, ears.
That's correct.
Not the Guys and Dolls.
No.
Okay,
no,
I see. No. So you're on the same level.
You'd be on the same level. Okay. Yes.
This is so unique. I really love it.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, this is cool. Okay, so there's one. Okay, so listen. This is supposed to be, I guess, play or pause.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's no pause, right? Well, you can't because it's a tape.
You can't
pause a tape, right? You'd have to stop it.
No.
I'm guessing the...
No pause on it.
Okay. This is very cool. I like this a lot.
That one's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Because that was the first pressing of the TPS L2.
Oh, really?
And I believe they made somewhere around 25,000.
That's not that many.
It's not that many, really. Not that many. And
so
when you think
cool.
It was in 1979, so how many of those have actually survived?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah.
That one still works.
Really?
Yes. I don't have batteries in it today, unfortunately. I don't have batteries in any of the stuff that I brought
in. You don't want it to erode or...
That's true, but I have it on display, and I have a lot of things on display, so I always make sure I take the batteries out just to make sure that I don't... You know, you can forget batteries, and they do go bad after a while, and once they leak, it can sort of mess things up. But...
So cool. All right, and in case you're curious, the demo tape that is inside is Jungle Strut... by D. Kume and K. Sineba.
We might even be able to look that up and play a sample
of it. Yeah, and it's the square, I'm guessing, is either their names, I'm not sure.
Yeah, possibly sounds... big back in the 70s. Yeah. I've never heard of them, but that's not saying much considering they're Japanese artists.
Right,
but...
all right, I'll throw in a little sample.
Oh, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
All right, cool. So that's one item.
That's the first one.
That's very
now,
cool.
this has been featured in a series of movies.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I wonder if you might know what it has been in.
Oh, okay. My immediate thought is, I know it's not Back to the Future, because Back to the Future, I believe, his is yellow.
There is a Walkman in Back to the Future. I don't believe it's a Sony.
Okay.
But there is definitely a Walkman.
Yeah, because he plays it for his when his father's sleeping.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. He's playing rock. Man, I don't know. It's got to be an 80s movie. Right?
It's actually not an 80s movie. It's more modern, but it goes back into the past or so. I haven't actually seen the movie,
the only thing I think is Ready Player One.
Okay.
Is that not it?
Not it, no.
Okay, I don't know.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, right.
And I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
I haven't actually seen it.
One of the big things maybe you've seen is he's always playing a tape.
Yes.
That I think his mom made.
Yes.
Or something like
yes.
that. So, yeah, he's always got the Walkman.
The Awesome Mix.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, I actually have the Awesome Mix tapes.
Oh, really?
As well. So I'm not actually a fan of the movie. I've never seen it, but I do like the fact that the Walkman is in it. So that's the Walkman that's in that movie.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll see it featured a few times in the movie. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. That's item one.
Item one. Yes.
Let's go to item two. So I'm going to reach under again. And again, I'm going to try to guess what this is.
I don't know how you'll go with this
one. Oh, this one. Okay. It's long. It's somewhat square. I thought it was a mini keyboard at first, but
right.
I don't feel keys.
Okay.
I don't feel any openings. Okay, you could definitely... I feel there's a stand, so it's got to sit. And there's some knobs.
There is a knob, yes.
I don't know. This is hard.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get that one.
Okay, I'm going to
even maybe
look.
Looking at it, you might not know exactly what that is.
I would have never guessed... what it was. So I'm looking at a Microvision game by Milton Bradley. It's called the Blockbuster.
Yes.
And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see an image of it, but there's four buttons and there's a small screen. The buttons are for balls, speed, paddle, and go. So I'm guessing it's kind of like it's gonna be like a pinball type game.
It's essentially like a breakout game. Maybe you've seen Breakout on the Atari, where the ball is bouncing off the top and you have a paddle down the bottom and you need to essentially smash the blocks up the top. So it's basically just like a clone of that style game.
Gotcha.
That's one of the games for that system. So those are actually interchangeable games.
Oh, really?
So you can take that whole game section out.
Okay.
And they made about 12 different games.
Oh, wow, that's
so
cool.
So this is technically the first handheld console ever.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Also 1979.
Okay.
So a lot of good stuff was happening in 1979, but that's one of about 12 games that they made for it. So you slot in the whole cartridge, and the display is actually there, and depending on whatever cartridge you slot in will be the game. So technically, it's the first handheld console with interchangeable games.
Whoa, that's crazy.
By Milton Bradley, of all people. Yeah, so, yeah. So they were actually the pioneers of handheld gaming.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, I know that. And maybe it's Milton Bradley or it could be another toy company, but you know those the games like, I don't know, football or basketball, you could have the handheld games. That was pretty big.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, very, very different from this.
Yeah. So they got in early for that one. Yeah. 79. So
goodness.
Quite impressive for the time as well.
That's very cool.
Despite being pretty large, like it's definitely not pocket size, but compared to everything else, I mean, your only other option for gaming at that stage would have been like an Atari 2600 or maybe something like that. So to have a portable version of your favorite games would have been quite a good thing to have.
What other kind of games? You said there's 12 different
They had bowling games. They had a pinball one, which you might be interested in. They're all pretty basic, so it's all like it's a monochrome screen. It's nothing too fancy. But they had various sports games and like a couple of action games and things like that. All super basic and blocky, but hey, it's 1979.
Right.
You'd be playing that and listening to your Walkman, you would have felt like you were pretty technologically advanced, I think.
And all portable too.
Yeah. Yep.
So the software has to be on this.
That's correct.
Board, right?
Yes.
I'm scared.
Yeah. This one's a spare one of mine, so you can do as you please with this. But essentially, you just pull on these two tabs here, and then it'll slide out like so.
I see.
And you could buy these individual games, and then they've got their own built-in buttons as well, which function on this, which is kind of like a multi-touch. Input system there. So the different cover dictates what game you're playing and the system always stays the same. So
that is really cool. I like that.
Made in USA.
Hey, there
so,
we go.
Yeah. USA pride. So before Japan and other Asian countries took over the electronic games market, original Ataris as well were all made in the USA. So at one stage, it's hard to believe now, but at one stage, the USA was the place for gaming.
Wow.
You wouldn't think that now so much.
No, not at all. That's very cool.
I'm glad you like that.
And what's there's a dial. What is this?
Yeah, so that one there, for that particular game, Blockbuster, that would be used to control your paddle down the bottom of the screen.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thank you.
Not a problem. Glad you like that one.
All right, we got one more.
Okay.
I'm very interested to see what this is. And
this one might be a tough one to guess as well, because it's closed at the moment. So I'll give you a clue on that.
Yeah, so once again, I'm holding it. I'm not looking. It is kind of the same structure as the Microvision.
That's right. It's that rectangular structure.
I don't feel any buttons or anything. Is it in a case?
This one's closed, so it will open out into something else.
All right, can you open it?
I can, yeah, certainly.
Maybe then I can figure
certainly.
Out what it is.
Okay. So this might help you a little bit. So it is now open.
Okay. Ah, okay. I'm feeling buttons now. There's maybe a screen.
Yes.
And yeah, that's all I've got. So it's some sort of, I'm going to guess it's like an early version of like the Think, or what was the early iPad? The ThinkPad? Is that right?
Oh, they had, well, they
called?
Had ThinkPads,
the
they had Palm Pilots, that kind of thing. Yes. You're definitely on the right track there.
So maybe it's an early version of a computer?
I'm going to give you a pass on that.
Yes. Wow,
so,
this is cool. It's a 16-bit personal computer.
16-bit personal computer.
It's called the Portfolio, and it is by Atari.
Yes.
That's cool.
Have you seen one of those
I've
before?
I've never seen one of those.
Ah,
no,
right.
No.
Well,
that's cool.
I'm glad to be showing it to you.
When I was a child, I had something similar, I remember. But it was not Atari. I can't remember what brand it was. But so, I mean, there's a slot on the side. I'm guessing that's where you can put your data cards
or something. Yeah, so they used cards. At the time, they were around about sort of a few, like I think maybe 2 megabytes was the biggest card that you could buy. So, but at the time, this was released in 1989.
Okay.
And it was the first DOS-based portable computer.
Oh, wow.
Which Doesn't seem like much today.
No, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for 1989, it was quite impressive because it meant you could actually do things on that portably and then upload them to your computer, your DOS-based computer, fairly seamlessly. So, for example, you could write a letter while you were on an airplane and then plug it into your computer when you got somewhere. So it was actually quite useful.
Oh, that's cool. It's great condition, too.
It's in pretty good condition.
Yeah.
That does work as well. And for 1989, I think it's looking quite good.
Yeah, and it's not super thick.
No.
You know, it's very, very portable. It's not heavy, really.
No, it was a pretty good design, and it was one of the first ones that actually had multiple lines on the screen as well. So there were some earlier organizer-type things around, but they were usually just one line. So that one, I think, has four or five lines on the screen. So that was quite revolutionary and unique at that stage as well.
That is very cool. I like this a lot.
I quite like that as well.
You should. I want to see you get on a train and start using these items and see what people think.
Many years ago, I used to bring my original Game Boy.
Yeah.
On the train, like we're talking the big white monochrome screen Game Boy, and I had these old style earphones that I used to wear with it, and that definitely got a few looks.
Yeah.
But I'd like to start using the Walkman. On there as well. So
cassettes have kind of come back a little bit, like vinyl did.
They have.
It's interesting.
Yeah, they've had that renaissance, which a lot of music formats have. Vinyl came back, and cassettes are actually now coming back as well.
Yeah.
And it seems like CDs
are
on the way back as well. So,
hey, for all those people that kept your CDs and tapes, you're back in style.
Did you keep your CDs?
No. I mean, I, of course, had a bunch.
Yeah.
And then, especially with the move to Japan, I sold all of my physical hard copy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I had maybe 500 DVDs, Blu-rays.
Nice.
Same with CDs. I had
hundreds.
Making the exodus. I had to just leave everything and sell everything.
I can see why you did that, because with music the way it is now,
right?
Especially a couple of years ago, you just would have looked at a pile of CDs and thought, there's simply no need for this.
Mm.
It's just ballast that I don't need to carry around.
Right.
But they are actually coming back. So I heard last year was the first year for maybe 15 years or more that CD sales actually increased.
Oh, really?
So year upon year. So it had been declining since, I guess, the year 2000, something like that.
Yeah.
Slowly declining. But last year was the first year they started to increase again.
Interesting.
So we could be seeing a renaissance period for CDs. But tapes did come back a little bit.
Mm. Well, see, I like the physical copies of things. You know, I loved making mixtapes.
Yeah.
You know, on cassettes
Absolutely.
Or even CDs and just not knowing what's on it.
That's right.
Just popping it in,
Absolutely.
Seeing where the music takes you or whatever it is.
Yeah, there's something to be said about physical media storage. So I'm still very much into it.
I can see that.
I don't actually use it though, but I'd love to actually buy some nice quality tapes and get some mixes going and start doing that again. But it's a bit troublesome, really. You've just got, especially with things like Spotify, you've just got all of this music on demand whenever you want it. I can see why people are mainly focusing on that, and you don't see a lot of people with CDs and tapes and things anymore.
Right.
Records is a bit different, I suppose.
Yeah, that's something I still have.
That's good.
Of course, most of it's in the States.
Mm.
But I started in Japan collecting again, so.
Yeah.
Nothing major, you know. I'm not one of those collectors. I just get stuff that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that way I can have it.
Yeah, listening to records is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's quite sad that a lot of people have never even heard a record play.
Yeah, that's, I can see that.
You could speak to, you know, if you surveyed 100 people on the street, young people, our age or younger, most of them would have never even heard a record.
Yeah, that's sad to me.
I know, because they sound so fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, usually every Friday night I'll play records. And then my son, you know, he's 4 and he already knows, you know, be careful with it, number one.
Yeah, that's right. That's
but,
right.
Yeah, how to put the needle on the record and all that stuff.
Wow, so. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So I like, you know, passing that kind of stuff along.
That's great. Yeah, he'll be, I can imagine when he's at high school or something and he'll be talking about these things and everybody will right. be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I was 13 when I got my first turntable and that was because I really liked mixing.
Nice.
So I guess I was kind of an outsider in that way.
Yeah, I don't think there would have been too many other people who
yeah,
who
my
shared
age.
That
no,
passion.
No,
so.
Not really. All right, well, cool. I'm glad you brought these three items for us to look
yeah.
at. And man, do it again. That was a lot of
fun.
I've
got plenty more that I can bring in. One thing
oh, please,
before
let's
we
get
go
back.
On the portfolio, have you happened to have noticed this in any movies along the
okay.
way? It's a fairly popular movie. I know you would have seen it. It was released in the early 90s.
Okay.
And very, very popular. In America, all over the world, basically.
All right. Action movie?
Action movie, yes.
Can you give me an actor?
Oh,
what's just my film knowledge?
if I do,
oh,
you'll probably
okay.
get it straight away.
All right, so action movie.
Edward Furlong.
Oh, Terminator 2.
Yes.
There we go.
So
when was this used in Terminator?
Okay, it was used a couple of times. The first time he uses it is when he gets the money out of the ATM.
Oh, that's right, yes,
yeah.
At the very beginning.
Easy money.
Draw 300 bucks. Come on, baby. Come on. Yes. Hey, it worked. All right. Easy money.
That's right.
So he's using one of those.
Ah, that's right. Because I can see it now.
Yeah.
He's using the portfolio to hack
yes.
it into the system. Ah.
Yes. That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, right. I don't have that attachment.
Pull out some easy money.
So it was used used there once, and then later on when they need to get the code to get into the Cyberdyne building, I believe he uses
yeah.
it there.
Yeah, I can see
as
it.
As well.
I can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very cool. Well, movie magic.
There we are.
With the portfolio.
Yes.
So I mean that's another thing we can even get into now or at a later time is product placement.
Yes.
Because you brought up, you know, these were used in movies and, you know, it makes me think how much maybe Atari paid so that they could use this in the movie.
Yeah.
Because that was in 92?
92, I believe.
So yeah, that was right after.
That would have been still fairly fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know if Atari would have specifically paid money for that to have it placed in there, quite possibly. Or it could have been that was actually just the best thing to use for that particular scene.
Oh, right.
The most advanced thing that they had at the time.
Right.
But I would dare say that Atari did probably pay something
yeah,
for that.
Yeah. So. And I'm sure Sony had to pay money for the cassette player to be in Guardians of the
absolutely.
Galaxy.
Absolutely. I'm almost certain
well,
that
yeah,
they
I mean,
would have paid money.
It's kind of a staple of his outfit.
Yeah.
Because he's always got it. So.
It's definitely a prop that's used quite heavily in the movie,
right.
apparently. I haven't actually seen the
no,
movie.
No, it is,
but,
it is.
it's sort of a main focus of the movie, I think. So I would love to know how much Sony actually paid to get that in there.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll have to do a little research.
Mm.
All right, very cool. Well, is that all
that
for
is
the portfolio?
It. That's all okay. I have for you today, sir.
All right, I'll hand this back to you. And again, please bring some more items. This was a lot of fun, this show and tell of technology and
I'd love
and items.
To. I'd love to.
And maybe next time I'll bring some stuff. And,
please do.
See if you can figure
yeah,
out
I'd love
is.
For you to do that.
I don't have great. As much cool stuff as you do.
I'm sure you've got some things that I'll enjoy.
All right. Well, Zane, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. No problem. Thank you for listening to English Roundtable made possible by Kanda Gaigo Career College in Tokyo, Japan. If you enjoyed hearing natural English conversation, subscribe and like us wherever you're listening and check us out on YouTube, Twitter, and our other SNS platforms, which will be in the description for this episode. Head over to the YouTube page to see some of the keywords we used in the conversation and other activities to test your English listening skills. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.